It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, White Sox fans, even though just one podcast ago, just mere a couple days ago, a few days ago, I delivered the alarming news there might not be another Mothership Sox Populi, Sox Pop, derived from the Latin, podcast for maybe upwards of a year. Well, look at this. We can't stay away. It's like a few days later, and we're doing a podcast here on Thanksgiving. That seems appropriate. The challenging topic is going to involve things somehow related to the White Sox we're thankful for. So if this podcast goes dead, now it could be technical issues, your Sirius radio or your podcast consumption device may be broken. It could be, but I'm going to guess it's not. It's just because we're all thinking and we can't come up with anything. I've primed my three wonderful guests, so I hope they came up with something. I have a good sense Melissa Sage Mullenbach has, because, you know, she usually brings the notebook. And Soxmath Joe Reeses, I'm going to guess he's calculated something, a happiness coefficient that isn't negative, like in one column. I can't speak for Brian. He may pass. And you are allowed to pass in this category. But yes, here on Thanksgiving, of course, up top, I'll say, I hope I'm not stealing anybody's idea, but I will say I'm thankful to all of you listeners and viewers and readers. Unique though you are, to paraphrase the brilliant Spinal Tap movie, I'm not really sure our audience has gotten smaller, but it definitely has gotten more selective. So thank you for being here to listen, to suffer with us. We do need that. I know if I'm talking to myself about the team, that's definitely the definition of an echo chamber. But even if us as a staff are talking about the team, it can get a little echo chambery. It's good to see your comments, get your feedback, know you're out there paying some attention to stories, not all of which, 99.8% of which, but not all of which are negative or reporting on something horrible the White Sox have done on or increasingly off the field. That said, with a powerful intro like that, thank you, Melissa, Brian, and Joe for joining me here on Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to you. I won't be watching football later. Maybe some of you will. It's sort of impossible to avoid. I won't even be eating turkey later, so I'm really blowing this holiday. But that said, I'm showing up to host the Thanksgiving podcast. So I'm not going to necessarily call anybody because this is so tricky and challenging. But anyone who wants to step to the shuffle, head down, hands in pockets to the front of the line to discuss something socks related you're thankful for. The Thanksgiving podcast, Socks Pop 163, is the time to do it. So I give you the floor.
Yeah, Melissa? Sorry.
Go ahead, Brian.
I mean, the obvious answer is like, this is corny. I'm sorry, but all of you, it's been so wonderful to be a part of Southside Sox for the last year and change. It's amazing, and it's a great community. Now that I've cleared my throat with that smarm. I don't know. I was thinking about this. Like, I'm a big Bears fan, and the last game they played before this, before I recorded this, they blew a, you know, a whatever 15-point lead in 3 minutes, and it was terrible, and I was watching it, and felt nothing, didn't care at all, wasn't bothered at all. Whereas my brothers and I are still sending texts furious about everything the White Sox do or don't do. So I am thankful that I still care. Like, it would be really easy to just not care at all, but this is too much part of my blood. This is too much part of something that moves me, that like, and it's tied into what I said first with this community, with not just Southside Sox, but the broader Southside Sox community and just the people in my family and friends and people I know online. Like, it's nice to care about something. And this, yeah, there's horrible, horrible things happening in the world. This doesn't actually matter, but it's nice to care about something that doesn't matter. That's not life or death, but that you still mean something to you. That's still part of who you are. And, yeah, I'm glad I'm not apathetic about the White Sox. I'm thankful as much as they've tried to make me. I still love it. And it's going to be part of my life forever. And I'm really grateful for that.
And that's a real question, Brian. I mean, we tackled it, I think, as we were discussing, you know, you and I directly, but also just as we were discussing on these podcasts, heralding, I can't say celebrating, although at this point it might as well be celebrating triple digit losses of the real issue, combined with not just the futility, but the ugliness of what this team sort of has grown into or degraded into. Those are real questions, and not everybody can come away with the same answer. Thankfully, you've got equal years Bears and White Sox fandom. So the White Sox do just mean that little much more to you. But I can see how that would actually, you know, usually comes in the form of like the angry, you know, texts back and forth or phone calls or frustration from, you know, dad or whatever, where it's like, okay, yeah, it still registers with me when, yeah, it easily couldn't.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, and before I toss it to Joe or Melissa, of course, I'm obligated contractually, but not just because I'm contractually obligated. Of course, I have to point out the enormous asset that Brian O'Neill is to us, not just for taking on the heavy lifting of pretty much a full year of Know Your Enemy writing, which can get, I think, as he found out, tough. The sheer repetitiveness, he managed to make every one of those he wrote a real delight. It is a wonder to read him. I think I've already told him directly, if he chose to somehow decide to degrade himself into pursuing as embarrassing a career as sports writing full-time, he would immediately become the top sports writing columnist in the city. And that is said by no small measure, given the fact that, you know, there are some guys, well, I know they've been getting paid for a long time. I don't know that they're good. There have been good columnists in this city. Yeah. I'm not sure there's many any longer, but if there even are columnists, do they still have that thing called a news paper, Brian? I'm not sure, but absolutely stellar. You want to talk about raising our GPA past like what is like an A 4.0, depending on what weirdo scale you use? I mean, we are like our grade point average is above 4 with Brian writing for us. So no way I could be less appreciative of you being here than you being here. So thank you for your presence. And yes, if you think that's a sneaky way to lock you into like 50 stories next year, maybe that's up to you. You know, you think about that over the Thanksgiving break. Okay, Joe, Melissa, you know, whatever, take your turn.
Well, yeah, I'm gonna lock into what Brian said, in that the people that I've met along the way, and I mean this goes way back for me to like the early days of when the White Sox used to have like message boards and things on their website. Like I met some awesome people there that I'm, it's kind of like the OG Twitter that I met there that I'm still friends with. And we were even, you know, chatting just a couple of days ago to then end up in this group of people who, I mean, ditto what you said, Brett, about Brian. I mean, he's just so interesting and engaging to read. And Joe is just, he knows so much about baseball. And so we're so diverse and like what everybody at Southside Sox brings to the table. Like, it's just a really cool, awesome thing to be a part of that. Like, I never anticipated in my life that I could ever be part of something like this. So I'm super thankful for that as well. But I have a couple of kind of unique things as well that doing the Facebook group this year for Southside Sox has been really, really fun. So if you don't belong to our Facebook community, listeners, lock in and go to our Facebook, Southside Sox, please like us and follow us, because we've got a really neat community there of people who chime in and chat back and forth about all the awesome things that we write on the site. So that's just been really fun, getting to know our community in a different way through that. And then my last thing, see, look at me. I like have like four things. That's pretty impressive.
You're not consulting your notes though, so this is really smooth. Your teleprompter is working.
And I mean, for a team that lost, you know, one games, coming up with four things that I'm like thankful for is pretty damn impressive. And the last thing is getting to write about and like dig into the prospect part of the White Sox. Like that's something I never thought I would be interested in. But just starting that last year, kind of after I came on board, just learning about how these kids, I'll call them young men, and their journeys are so diverse, and like what it takes for them to like get where they are in the minors. And then, you know, hopefully a lot of them work their way through the system. That has been an unexpected joy for me that I am really looking forward to even growing and taking farther in the future. So.
All right. This is my turn to speak. And of course, it goes without saying that the fact that you three have shown up and you really are, I mean, again, this is not to degrade any other member of our staff on our mascot, of course, but you are three incredibly key members. Melissa being, I think, the last to join. I don't know. You and Brian came, you know, I don't know, sometime near each other. Joe, he's an old man with Southside Sox. But so quickly, and I mean, really, this speaks to Joe as well. And I've said this to Melissa. I mean, the two people more than anyone I trust with steering this in terms of the not just the punctuality and the scheduling, but just the cleanliness of the copy. It really is you two. And that is no small statement, because you look at every other SBN site. Again, I'm not going to besmirch all the rest of them. I'm not going to like shout out like Bleed Cubby just because I hate the Cubs, because, you know, I'm sure that is a very clean, nice site. Al Young's a really nice guy. But I mean, a lot of other sites, I mean, it's just ass backwards. I mean, we keep it clean. We keep it strong. We keep it better than the so-called professional sites. I guess technically we're professional. By the way, you three, we're professional. remember to report on your taxes. But, you know, and really in terms of, you know, when I was gone this year, missing all the most exciting news breaks of the season, although, you know, the year's not over yet, so there might still even be something more exciting to come here in the last month of the year. I could completely, you know, trust both you and Crystal Store of steering this. And of course, you know, not that I'm going to make out my will here on podcast Sox Pop 163. But of course, if, you know, I break my leg and can't type, because, you know, naturally I type with my feet. But, you know, I mean, obviously you and Crystal are going to be the folks to steer this and keep everybody out there well fed on White Sox information, which, again, direct your mail then to Melissa and Crystal. Don't blame me for that. I mean, you're angry about the White Sox. Quit blaming me about that. Spread your hate around a little bit. Jeez. Or your praise, because things can only get better. Inside the White Sox, that's where I started with my White Sox interest. I remember that being sort of the White Sox Scott Reifert blog, where I would make comments. I believe Ken Wohl was a commenter, and shockingly, sort of an unpopular, opinionated one way back then, and that is 20 years ago. So that's sort of where I started. And, you know, really, baby Joe here, I mean, we got three pretty veteran, you know, sorry, Brian, and I know you're a little bit younger, but we got three veteran White Sox fans. You pool all of our painful seasons of watching, and let's face it, we can round Joe up into this. He's not, you know, he's not 10. Wow. I mean, White Sox, just send the check, man. You guys owe us big time. Thank you, Melissa, for that sweetness. And hey, good cue. You know, I did sort of want to do the predictions before I really ran hard into our prospect countdown. I don't even know if we're going to get to 100 because some of those guys have declared for free agency, which, hey, dummy, start it too early and you're going to end up having some guys who make the list who aren't actually going to be on the White Sox anymore. Oh, well, our top 91 prospects will we will get rolling this week. Finally, Melissa's already broken the tape. She broke the tape with number 100, who now might be like number 95 or number 103. I don't know. But Jason Matthews, you're in. You're printed. We can't take you away now. You're one of our top 100 prospects. Okay. We won't break. We're going to go right to Joe. And Joe, okay, pressure's on. Oh, my God. They were so sweet. Those old Codger fans, Brian and Melissa, so sweet. What do you got for us? What are you thankful about the White Sox or whatever this team is?
Very nicely said by all of you. Yeah, definitely the community is a massive one. Like whenever a friend or a family member asks me, like, you know, how is the vlog going, or, you know, how has the White Sox fandom been, or something along those lines, like, I always say, well, you know, the team is a mess, but, you know, still it's a good experience though. And to have it still be an overall good experience says a lot, I think, about the community of Southside Sox. So definitely a lot to be thankful for there. And on top of that, I don't really get much room to complain, as my third year of rooting for the White Sox was 2005. So, like, I mean, I kind of feel like, I haven't had to suffer nearly the same amount as some people. Like, that's about as lucky as I could have been, at least in the early stage of my fandom. So that's, yeah, I can't really complain too much there. I have to mention, Sebi Zavala had two multi-homer games this year. They both made me very happy. Very few things energize me like a Sebi Zavala home run. So, you know, that, you know, even when the team was on an epic cold streak, you know, that, especially the game against the Yankees in Yankee Stadium, like, that one was certainly a memorable game. And, I will, take that one with me for a while, I think, as you know, we enter what looks to be another dark age of White Sox baseball up ahead. You know, I think that's one I'll be able to look back on and say, you know, that was pretty cool. So that's good. Of course, Luis Robert Jr. having a nice, mostly full breakout season, that where he had about 5 WAR. Like, that's, I wasn't expecting him to be quite as good as he was, but it was encouraging seeing, you know, not just a very good player, but also a very exciting player. Like, we saw him kind of taunting the crowd at Wrigley Field after that home run that he hit at Wrigley. That was very good. And I feel like, you know, he, as we enter a dark age where we're looking for silver linings on the field, I certainly feel like he will bring us many moments like that in years to come. So that's definitely a reason for encouragement and optimism.
MVP votes, Joe. I mean, come on, that's not nothing. I mean, what, 12th in MVP? I mean, that's a delineation. I mean, if you're one of the 25, you know, however many it is who get MVP votes, that means, you know, you're the cream of the crop. And I don't think even you, who have been, you know, high on him in the past, rightfully, you're admitting you didn't expect that. Because, I mean, who thought he'd play, what was it, 120 games, 130 games? I mean, who thought he'd ever do that? So that's pretty cool. Joe, in your 20th year of Southside Sox writing, this is an assignment, mark it down. I will expect a detailed treatise on where you were or what your feelings were for every one of Sebi Zavala's, let's say, 18 career home runs. That no matter who he's hitting him for, he's going to hit some for Tampa, maybe hit one for Arizona, he's going to hit a couple for San Francisco, where maybe we can even extend this to AAA. I'm going to expect that article. It's, again, he may have, he's a solid catcher, so it's maybe years down the road, but consider that a sign. I'm going to need that from you, okay? I'll be a smart ass. I've already been, you know, thankful. And, you know, of course, it goes without saying, I'll appreciate, you know, Joe. Joe is, you know, he's sort of OG Southside Sox, not necessarily the first skeleton crew of people in 2018, but I'll be 2019, I believe, Joe, I think. So, you know, pretty early on and somehow has stuck around. I got to throw a question back at you then, Joe. If this was your third year of Sox fan of 2005, you're a young fan. I mean, obviously, we're all trust me, I was carried away and I was not a young fan. Okay, we get carried away with these moments. And I think we would all answer in the affirmative. But at that age, at that time, did you think, okay, man, this is, I know there's history, and I'm sure you had studied the history. You know, I know the history isn't so great, but the gravy train's coming. You must have thought this was the beginning of a time where you're just going to think, man, this is going to be the easiest team to be a fan of because this is going to be so sweet, especially, you know, especially 90 wins in 2006. You must have thought it was going to be easier, and it's turned out to be.
And the Cubs kind of had the reputation of being the lovable losers very much, even from my, you know, extended family members, most of them were Cubs fans. So like, yeah, the White Sox just seemed like a very trendy team. I really liked Hawk as a small child as well, with all of his enthusiasm and his phrases. Like, you know, my little kid self was very excited about them, and yeah, definitely would have expected their win percentage overall over the next two decades, I think, to be better than it has been.
Yeah. And this harkens back to the our preceding predictions podcast, which, gosh, just a few days ago. And you know, make no mistake, they're still lovable losers. They're still losers. Again, no offense, Melissa. I know you're very close to that situation, but let's not kid ourselves. Now, we can't. I'm not saying about the team, about their immediate prospects, although I'd love to say that. But come on, Joe. They're Cubs fans. I mean, it's sort of tattooed, but okay, all right. I'll pipe down now. I've been hopefully kind to the Southside Sox electorate and the three writers here with me who braved this podcast on Thanksgiving for Thanksgiving Day. So I'll be snarking my answer, but also somewhat heartfelt in saying this one thing I would be thankful for. The first thing that came into mind when I thought of this question to ask the field is I am happy going against the grain probably of my first years on this planet of now saying that I'm happy not to be an employee of the White Sox. What we would all consider a dream job, whether we're in sales, whether we want to write, whether we want to play, manage, whatever. I am genuinely happy, as much as I hate the separation the White Sox create between us, the longest White Sox site ever, probably even older than WhiteSox.com. I don't know. They were probably just running at 1-900 call collect, you know, ads back then. That was probably their content way back when Southside Sox started. As much as I resent that, and still do, of course, would I want to work for this team? Would I want to have to account for why I'm still working for this team? Would I want to have to account for the atrocious? I mean, obviously the field is enough, but I mean, come on. Teams have ups and downs. White Sox have just had a few more this century than they traditionally have. But the avarice and the immorality and the ugliness and the arrogance. I mean, Brian, among many of us, Brian, I think most recently has eloquently expressed just this King George notion of this front office and certainly the owner. It just would, it's hard to, my skin crawls a bit to call myself a White Sox fan. I still am. Not just because I'm running this, although I would have to admit, honestly, a decent portion of my fandom stems from the fact that I'm doing this. I genuinely would say, you know, I mean, I guess if they called up tomorrow and said, hey, guy that we've been ignoring and talking down for years since we were really close buddies with you a decade ago, hey, you want to come work in this position? I mean, I'm not going to say I wouldn't say, well, let's think about this. But would the answer be the automatic yes it would have been for the first, I don't know, 4 decades of my life? 3 decades in the workforce, I guess. I guess when I was 6, no one was going to offer me a job with the White Sox. No, it's not an automatic yes. And in fact, knowing that this, we know on field, I think we're pretty certain, Crystal's finally come to the dark side, that it's going to get worse in 2024. But I'm afraid off field, front office, in the system, it's going to get worse. I mean, I'm crossing my fingers that that's not the case. But I'm genuinely afraid that we're not at bottom yet, and it's only going to be harder, to expose that tattoo, whether we literally have one or not. I mean, they're somehow tattooed on our hearts and our souls, and it's ticking me off right now. So to put a twist on that, I mean, I am actually thankful that I do not have to account for my position selling tickets to a fan base that gets just screwed every game, stands in line for a nothing crowd every game, pays, what is it, $58 for parking? I mean, whatever it is now, it's something that's preposterous given there's a sea of concrete surrounding the park, every game but Crosstown or, maybe Yankees. So it's a snarky answer, but there's something heartfelt behind it. We're going to take a quick break. I'm not going to let these folks go yet. We're going to talk just a little bit about the offseason. I promise it is going to be quick, so you three, please don't. I mean, even if you got to go to John, don't run away from me. Just stick around. It's going to be like 5 more minutes. So our weirdly timed and very oddly placed break is happening right now. Come back in a minute and hear some stuff actually about the team instead of all our Hallmark card stuff about each other. See you in a minute.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
White Sox fans, that was a minute. Thank you for sticking with us. Sox Pop 164, Thanksgiving Day. We've discussed with eloquence, well, these three with eloquence, me with just rabble and blather, why we are thankful to be White Sox fans or affiliated with the White Sox or something, something Southside Sox. I'm not sure. I don't remember their answers now, but they were sweet and I loved them. And my heart is beating faster and harder because of all of those answers. Okay, let's just address, we've done no podcast. Frank, I'm sorry, guy. Really, I hate this team right now. It's just sort of hard to do a podcast about them. That said, some stuff has happened. Obviously, we got Benetti, which Brian's written on. Joe's touched on stuff. Melissa, obviously, she's been active. She's been pitching, but, she's back. She's behind the typewriter again, so she's going to be writing more for us. There's stuff that's happened. Some players are signing elsewhere. There's trade rumors. Nothing of merit is really happening to make you, say, adjust 107 loss prediction for 2024. So just, I suppose, quick, because I know all of your patiences are being tried here, but thoughts of where you stand at the moment in the off season. Do you think things are going to get better or worse between now and opening day. Where are you at with this ball club?
Two quick thoughts on that. One, I'm actually not going to let you get away with the end of the mawkishness. I know you went to break before we could swing it back to you, but I really want to give a shout out to Brett, who has created an amazing space for people. Southside Sox, I, you know, whatever numbers we do doesn't really matter. What you have built here and the, I don't know, like there are amazing talents that for people who don't often get a chance to write about sports or who are shut out from the academy, as it were, it's astonishing. Like I am humbled and grateful to work with people like Joe and Melissa and everyone on the staff. And that's a tribute to you, Brett. I know you didn't want us to be mawkish. You tried to throw it to break, so we couldn't do that, but I'm still
I didn't know this was a possible territory. Oh, bring it. I didn't even know this was a possibility. Oh, this just became an hour and a half podcast. All right, Brian. Yeah, okay. Yeah, back to you. No, I appreciate that. Obviously, as I've explained to all of you, it's extremely important to do what it is we're doing. I don't know necessarily what stirred that in me. I mean, I know everybody's tired of me, you know, yakking about it, but, you know, I've been there. I've looked up and down press row and, you know, I know what I see and I know what I don't see. And, you know, this isn't the same thing. Unfortunately, we've had one season out of now going on six that where we have been denied access to press row, even on the road, which is a sweet little twist, White Sox. yeah, come on. This is representation that we need to have. And it is, it goes, I hope, you know, in what you're saying too, as well, Brian, what you said is, it's not just a matter of widening the breadth of staff and writers. It's also allowing that quality to shine through, because obviously you can't have one without the other. You can have a clown site otherwise, a clown site with a lot of, you know, interesting, you know, names on the masthead. But
The amount of talent on the site is, it blows my mind. I can't, like I said, humbled to be on the masthead. In terms of the off season, I think Getz is going to make some good moves at the margin. I mean, like the Atlanta trade, the bummer trade, like that's fine. There's going to be some fine stuff that I'm going to be able to talk myself into thinking like, all right, maybe they're doing something here. Maybe they're going to lose 95 games, not 117. In the last podcast, Crystal was in the Detroit Tigers, Cleveland Spiders. Like, you know, but yeah, I don't think that I think we've had the worst of the offseason. I think there's going to be some interesting things that happen, but only interesting at the margins.
Yeah. Getz is in a decent position in that, well, he's obviously in a decent position. He was gifted a job, but this roster in this organization is so bereft. I mean, he can really almost just fall out of bed and make a move there and be like, oh, okay, yeah. He got five guys from a good organization. One or two may stick for a guy who they don't need. I mean, he is in a position to really sleepwalk through the offseason and still come away pretty good. So, and that's not just you being poised to be like, you know, hooray Getz, because I know if anything, it's the opposite. But yeah, that's you might call that a catbird seat. So yeah, we'll see what he does with it. Okay. Go, Chris. Melissa, Joe, litmus test, where are you at?
Will things get better before opening day? I mean, probably not. Things are going to get worse before they get better is my gut instinct. It's a situation where even if the greatest general manager of all time was given control of the team right now, I'm not really sure what could be done in just a few short months here to put a competitive 2024 team on the field. I mean, eventually things have to get better because you can't be a 101 loss team forever, but yeah, not looking as far as the near term, meaning between now and opening day, not feeling too great about really anything in particular.
Yeah. Yeah. The test will be, I mean, it's easy to say, okay, you turned Aaron Bummer into some guys or whatever. But I mean, and really it's just Cease. I mean, I don't think Luis Robert is a guy who I can see the thought of, well, the guy plays 80 games a year, so yeah, maybe you trade him high. But Cease is really the guy, and I'm not saying they should or shouldn't trade him, but I mean, that's really going to be a test of, did you extract max or more than max value? And it's something Han wasn't always that bad at, so there is precedent that's not, well, I mean, pretty awful, but maybe not 100% awful. So I guess that would be a test if he's really going to do that, and a test of his stones. I mean, really, I mean, let's face it. Even knowing the team's going to be terrible, even if they don't want to admit it, I mean, it's still a tough move to pull the trigger on a guy he's still got control over, who's a year removed from Cy Young runner-up. And yeah, we'll see. Gets, hey, we're watching. We know you're listening. We're watching. You know, go Chris or whatever. Melissa, feelings?
I'm feeling meh about this offseason because, like, at least for the past 3 or 4 off seasons, it's like, oh, there's that potential to maybe like sign a big name, which is always fun. And like this year, we know like there's no big names coming. Yeah. Like it's just going to be the shuffling of the chairs. Yeah, we're going to get rid of Bummer and we're going to get 5 prospects here. And maybe we're going to get rid of another guy and get a couple more potential, you know, projects. So but to me, that's just not exciting at all. Like I don't find that type of offseason to be anything to write home about. So I can see myself like this year even more like paying more attention to like what's going on in the minor leagues and the development of the guys down there, just because there's more superstar potential there possibly than there is going to be coming from the outside anytime soon, because we're just cutting and slashing, you know, salaries everywhere. And it's not like we're using that because we're trying to court Shohei Ohtani to come or something like that. It's just not going to happen. So to me, I'm like kind of planning on sleeping through most of the off season and just looking forward to watching what's happening in the farm.
Looking forward to the snowy home opener. Hosting Detroit at the end of March, for goodness sake.
Listening to Jason Benetti announce on the Tigers broadcast.
Yeah, yeah. How about that? Let's face it. The roster is all, you know, it's 4A guy. I mean, the roster isn't going to be, you know, the best guys. So it's going to be rough. And yes, we are going to have to pay attention to, hey, all you Southside Sox writers or potential staffers, minor league writing is going to get more attention than ever. So, you know, help fill our slots that aren't filled. Geez, Melissa, it sounds like you're like completely ignoring the fact that you're disappointed that we're not going to sign another bullpen guy for like $20 million this offseason. Geez, talk about a new regime. What's going on with that? No relievers? Not even like Raylo coming back? Yeah, you're right. There's nothing. Even the trades, it's not going to be, you know, Dylan Cease for
the
Dodgers starting whatever center fielder, you know, whatever we can get from them. It's going to be, you know, 6 guys with pedigrees and resumes and hope, wish, fingers crossed. And, you know, and by osmosis, a few of them will end up in the major leagues because Wysock's got nobody in the major
leagues. No. And like, on the opening day roster, it's like, who are you going to be excited about besides Luis Robert and maybe, you know, Andrew Vaughn?
Cause Andrew Vaughn, I hear.
Yeah. He's going to be, you know, next year standout guy. But like, I mean, everybody else is just going to be like a plug and play gap guy. That's just like, that's snooze fest. Like, that's just not fun to think about.
Yeah. I guess if Guess is really aggressive about turning over the roster and, you know, being his own man or whatever. And so Eloy's gone and, you know, any of the, even the toss up guys you might consider, like even Benintendi. I mean, I don't know who'd take the contract. The Sox have to eat some money, but, you know, maybe you move that guy in or something, you know, anything's possible. Right. And just getting in this influx where, you know, suddenly now the Edgar Queros or, you know, that are just one step closer and the Strini's, you know, maybe even break camp. And I mean, that team is going to be overwhelmed, but, and it seems like it's not only other teams can have prospects who come up and just immediately just rake, like, you know, there's no Tatises here to, we got the wrong Tatis to come up and immediately rake. We just don't get those guys. But I mean, the more of them you bring in, say in a Cease trade or maybe you do make some other clever little moves. I mean, this is really ascribing a lot of brilliance and genius to a front office that doesn't have it. But if it was possible, okay, you throw those 20 guys out there, you roll the balls out onto the field, you know, in spring training, and maybe a couple of those guys really just don't look back. A Wilford Veras just goes bananas and never pauses it. And that kind of thing could really get exciting. Now you've got like a kids can play type of thing going again. This is a way too high ceiling, especially for a guy who says they're going to lose 107. But that possibility exists, especially if Getz is willing to say, hey, maybe even Vaughn, maybe a guy like Vaughn is even gone. I mean, sorry, Melissa, you haven't made the pick yet, so you'll be able to still change it. But I mean, you cut enough of what might be considered fairly, you know, maybe still young, but dead weight. You know, hey, maybe you flip a Corey Lee because it's like, well, okay, yeah, I can throw guys out, but, you know, an 050 OPS, you know, ain't going to hack it. You know, depending on how aggressive he wants to be, given that he's basically still inherited this whole team, I mean, there could be, still be some stuff that drag us back in. I think I'm cynical enough to be like, okay, I'm waiting till May. But I mean, there could be some stuff that's just like, okay, this is just such a different dynamic mix. It's like, them playing at the Schaumburg Flyers field during the pandemic is like, okay, what's out there? What's this new team of crazy? What's Terrell Tatum doing in center field? What's happening here? And you figure even if a couple of those guys could stick, it's like, oh, geez, okay, mate. Wow. The future is, I'm talking way too soon. I'm going to just shut up because this stuff can be quoted and thrown back at me, including by Sage. So I don't want that to happen. I'm not going to defend Rickon ever again, but I mean, there is a possibility if enough is gutted that it's like, okay, all right, wow. It would get a little more attention and maybe even actually a little more excitement. Unfortunately, still same manager and GM, but it's a possibility they could drag us back, but I don't blame you for meh because that's sort of like the Sox official motto. They might as well just put it underneath the downward arrow outside the park because 2024 is going to be rough. On that note, thanks for listening. Thanks for reading. Thanks for being here. No, some heartfelt words from all of us, and certainly all directed out to you, the readers, viewers, listeners here at Southside Sox. We know it's very tough being a Sox fan. We appreciate that you stick around or even just visit, you know, every week. I wouldn't blame you. If I was in your shoes, I'm not sure how often I'd be stopping in. Oh, wait, I'd be stopping in every day, multiple times a day. What am I talking about? Yep. God, that was dumb. What was I thinking? But okay, for those of you who just aren't as hardcore fan as me, who'd stop in, you know, even every few days. I mean, we appreciate it. We're throwing cool stuff out there. Got our prospect poll, got our prospect countdown, got cool stuff when inspired by Brian O'Neill. Joe Reese's gives us a combination of his reminiscences and then sometimes also his analysis. You know, you don't know what you're getting from Joe. He's Cali Joe now, so who knows how crazy this could get in the future. The next 4 years for him, it could really be taking us in different directions. I mean, goodbye to the Indianapolis field office. And, you know, Melissa, again, if she's not pitching in the system, still a possibility. She's been doing some winter league play. Well, she's going to be writing the hell out of the site because that's basically what she's done since she's, you know, hit the ground here with us. And I'll fill in when absolutely necessary, when I can't guilt anybody else on staff to do the thing I don't want to do. Okay, I'll do it. And maybe it'll be entertaining too. Or not. Hey, listen, sorry, guys, you can't fire me. I don't think. Maybe you can. Huh. Next podcast, let's think about this. Is it possible? All right. Okay. I'm going to take some notes. Melissa, please, notes on that. I'm going to need notes on that next podcast. Please find an out clause for me. Otherwise, be happy to see all of you real soon. Don't know if we're going to do any Soxivus celebrations this year. We have not got off to the Soxivus rousing start because let's face it, you know.
Nah.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the dead air that you're going to have you hitting your podcaster machine. But anyway, thanks, Brian, Melissa, Joe, for showing up, in the same setup, in the really, really sharp clothing and beverage choices you made even for last podcast. How did that happen? I love the way you planned that. That was so cool. Stay well. Hey, me and Joe say stay warm up there, over there. Sorry, guys.
Rude. So rude.
It's very rude, but it wouldn't be cold sock pop podcast without. Thanks to the three of you. To all of you out there listening, et cetera. Again, I can't predict when we'll do this again. If it was up to me, again, Melissa's going to come. She's going to figure out the out clause for me. Saving that, I don't know, maybe another week or so. When news breaks, when we're motivated to, when we figure out another cool theme to talk about and discuss, we'll do it. Maybe it'll be predictions review. If we made them in 2019, what would they have been? Maybe that'll be the next podcast. Or maybe we'll talk about another team. We'll think it over. Taking suggestions in the comments. You want to throw some suggestions? I mean, comments. The comments do exist. They work down there. You know, folks, you can hit the, you know, in the box that says comments, you can actually type in there and we'll read it. So, you know, if you have thoughts about what our next podcast should be, please share, because frankly, these are my notes. I got nothing. except I'm going to put out clause here. I'm just going to put it at the top, and I'm going to put Melissa here in parentheses because she's going to figure something out for me. She's clever. And Brian will find a good way for me to write that departure, and Joel just take over by, you know, he's got tenure or whatever. So he'll take over. Okay, cool. I'm glad we worked through this. I'm glad we storyboarded this. Thank you to you three. We'll be back sooner than you're ready for us. Or if you're ready for us tomorrow, well, I'm sorry to disappoint you because we ain't coming up with a podcast on the Friday after Thanksgiving. See all of you. Thank you for the kind words and for your listening, viewing, and reading. We'll be back at you real soon.